95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, in the big chair once again in WBCK for another edition of Coach's Corner, coming to you from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. Well, that was quick. This is week nine, the last week of the regular season of high school football season, and we're already there. Seems like we just got started in the fall, and we've already hit the playoff week, and we'll be talking to our city high school coaches about the week in sports, talking about the games from last night, and we will look ahead to that first week of the playoffs as we come near the end of the high school football season. We'll do that with our first coach of the morning, but first, here's the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. Last night, Harper Creek earned a huge win in the Interstate 8 Conference, beating Jackson Northwest 53-0. That clinches an outright conference title for the Harper Creek Beavers. That's the first time Harper Creek has won the title by itself since 2017. Elsewhere in the city, Lakeview got a much-needed win and beat Gull Lake 42-27. Battle Creek Central lost to Matawan 34-8. Parma Western beat Penfield 56-0. And St. Phil will finish off the city football slate with a game tonight at CW Post Field against Burr Oak. In the area, in a battle of eight-player division powers, Climax Scotts beat a 7-1 Pittsburgh team 63-14 as the Panthers end the regular season at 8-1. Union City suffered its first loss of the year, losing to Buchanan 17-7. Coldwater held off a late Marshall charge and won 10-6. Olivet got past Comstock Park 37-8. And other scores around the area, it was Colon 48, North Adams 14, Bellevue 38, Concord 0, White Pigeon 46, Bronson 6, Parchment beat Dalton Kellogg 57-0, South Haven beat Galesburg Augusta 36-22, Michigan Center rolled past Homer 46-8, and Centerville shut out Quincy 55-0. We will be back with our first Coach of the Morning after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, here with our first Coach of the Morning, Coach Mark Pacetti of the St. Phil Fighting Tigers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
St. Phil is still waiting to play its final regular season game of the year. They finish off our city slate with a night game tonight at CW Post Field. They will host Burr Oak. And a lot on the line for both these teams. Burr Oak is 6-2, and St. Phil is 5-3. And a win tonight for either team, and they can be sitting around the TV on Sunday for the MHSA Selection Sunday show and see if their name pops up. If they can get some love from the computer, and hopefully the computer points go their way. But first, you have to win the game and see how that goes. Is that the mindset going into tonight's game?
Yeah, we've talked all week. You know, it's going to be tight for us to get in. So it's, you know, it's a wait and see. If Burr Oak wins, they're in. For us, though, and we've talked with the kids, it's moot if we don't win the game. So, you know, we have to get a win first, and then we can sit back and see what happens.
Burr Oak was rolling to a 6-1 record until they ran into Britton Deerfield last week and lost 80-20 in that game last Saturday. And but they are 6-2 now, and they haven't been in the playoffs since 2020, and only once since 2013, so this is new to them. They've only won two games total in the last three seasons combined before this year's six-win season. And you guys beat them last year to 50-22. Burr Oak is a different team this year. What makes them a little bit better this year?
They're a lot different. They've got a lot of new kids playing. A lot of speed. It was just shocked us when we first went and saw them. The speed that they have. We figured we were a team with speed until the injuries hit us. And the injuries we got, it's like it hit all of our speed players. So, you know, that's going to be tough for us to keep their speed under control. They've got a running back and a quarterback that are both real shifty, and they can run. So, you know, we've worked all week trying to make sure that we can put ourselves in position to keep them under control.
You guys put yourself in position to be thinking about the playoffs, and when you earned your win last week and beat Athens 50-14, and senior quarterback Colt Myers had a big game with 7 touchdowns in the win, 4 touchdowns on the ground, and 3 through the air. And but you're still working with numbers problems, injuries, and that's been a bugaboo for you all season long. And how do you kind of sit right now as you head into last week?
Well, we were really no different than last week until, excuse me, Monday. Sawyer Weiss got kind of released from the doctors, so he's been working with us all week, but he's going to be a game time decision. It'll be up to Tom Lawrence, you know, to see if he can go or not. But from what we've seen through the week, it looks like we'll have him part time tonight. He won't be starting both ways, but he will start on defense. So that helps us out a little bit. You know, it was a player we thought we wouldn't get back. We were told we wouldn't get back. And, you know, he's been progressing well enough that it looks like he's going to be able to play tonight.
Looking at Baroque and that speed and that you talked about, what are some of the things you think you want to do against Baroque to try to give you guys an advantage either on offense or defense?
Well, defensively, we've worked all week on trying to keep them corralled. You know, we can't let them get outside of us. Hopefully, you know, we're still strong enough in the middle that we can take care of things if they want to run the ball up the middle, but we've got to control the outside. We can't let them bounce things out. We can't let them have cutbacks. So, you know, we've spent more time than normal this week on concentrating on keeping things corralled in, watching, you know, setting up for the cutback lanes, things like that. They run a zone blocking scheme, so, you know, you've got to be ready for those cutbacks.
And offense, you guys have been able to do it both ways this year, depending on the opponent. And you have Colt back there at quarterback, and he can do either one, that whatever kind of fits your style for that week. Do you have a feel for that yet?
Yeah. Coach Downey's got things under control. Him and Coach Rabbit, they set up the offense, and I'm not concerned about the offense. I think we can score. It's the problem is, can we stop them? And that'll be the big thing tonight.
A win for St. Phil tonight gets you to 6-3, which is a nice season. And in the past, 6 wins and you're in. That would have been a reason to celebrate. Nowadays, 6-3 sometimes doesn't get you in or does not get you in. And we saw that a couple times last year. Bellevue jumped up to 6-3 last year and didn't make the playoffs out of the 6-win team. And it's all kind of based on your strength of schedule. And through no fault of your own, you have to play the schedule that's in front of you. Some of the teams in your conference have had down seasons, and that hasn't helped you at all in terms of computer points and strength of schedule. So when you're looking at that throughout the week, which I'm sure you have been, and seeing which teams need to win or lose last night, did you get some good news or some bad news last night?
Well, it's mixed. Yeah. Mixed, you know. Like I said, we've talked with the kids. You know, in the old days, we had Dick Stibe coaching, and we used to call him Rain Man. Yeah. I mean, he always knew he would – always knew where we sat, what point totals were for us, other teams, and he had it all figured out. But it's too much for us. We can't spend that kind of time going through it all. And even if you do, sometimes you're not right anyways. So, I mean, we are going into this game with the idea that, you know, first we have to win and second we have to wait and see. It's going to be close no matter what we do.
In an 8-player division of football, only 16 teams per division make it in, as opposed to the 32 teams in the rest of the division. So it's a tight field, and there are some teams out there at 8-1 or 7-2 that might not make it in. So 6-3 is a tough road to hoe. And the kids are excited about the opportunity, I'm sure, and getting the 6 wins is something to hang not as to keep your head up about, because 6 wins for this team and the struggles that you've faced. Talk about that a little bit.
We have talked about that, you know. And if we, you know, to get to 6-3 for all of the injuries and the other things that we've gone through this year, would be a great record. And don't get me wrong. I mean, the three losses that we have are to three excellent football teams. You look at Bellevue, you look at Mendon, you look at Climax. They're three of the best eight-man teams in the state. You know, you talk about Bellevue. I think they're going to get in, and congratulations to Bellevue. I hope they do get in because they deserve to be in. They're a good football team, and it'd be too bad if they didn't get into playoffs because they deserve to be there. They are that good of a team. But for us, you know, 6-3 would be a great season for these kids after what we've gone through. You know, I'm just hoping we can get there. We get to 6-3, and then we sit back and see what happens.
You have a tough challenge ahead of you to do that. A Burr Oak 6-2 team coming into your place. 7 o'clock tonight at CW Post Field. Last game of the regular season for anybody in the 7 o'clock game slot for Saturday night. And then after that, the computers will start rolling through, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. The selection show for the MHSAA is Sunday evening, and a lot of people will be interested in seeing what happens there. But good luck tonight, St. Phil.
Right? Thanks, Bill.
Let's see if St. Phil can get a win. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer back here at Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Marty Martin, the Penfield Panthers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Hey, thanks. Coach Martin is coming off the bench for us a little bit this morning, sitting in for Coach Robbie Hatton. He's calling in for us and talk about Penfield's game last night. Thanks for helping out, Coach. Penfield ran into one of the big dogs of the Interstate 8 last night and lost to Parma Western 56-0, and that ends the regular season for Penfield at 1-8. A very young team this year for Penfield, and hit some bumps and bruises along the way and lost some kids to injury and played some younger kids as the season kind of went along. And let's talk about last night first, though, and ran into a Parma Western team that's really tough. How'd that game kind of go early?
Yeah, so early we did a nice job of just kind of making them try to drive the ball down the field, and they were running the ball pretty forcefully, and they had a big play. And then we just couldn't really get anything going on offense, so our defense was out on the field quite often. You know, we'd hold them through three or four plays, and then, boom, a big play. Parma's a really good football team. The Interstate 8 is a really good football conference when you look at the top three or four teams in it. And we just ran into a team that was a little bit bigger, faster, and stronger than us last night.
Yeah, Parma Western is one of the bigger teams in the area. The Interstate 8 is loaded at the top with Parma Western, Hastings, and Harper Creek all going to the playoffs, all fighting for the top spot the last couple of years. And Parma Western has been one of those teams that have given a lot of the teams in the Interstate 8 a lot of trouble. You talked about defense a little bit and trying to stop them. And Gavin May had a big game last night. He had 8 tackles for the Panthers. But when you have your defense on the field for as long as you did last night and you're not able to consistently keep drives going on offense, talk about how much trouble that puts a team into.
Yeah, it puts you in a lot of trouble, especially with field position. We really did not put our defense in good positions last night. But, you know, you talked about Gavin. Gavin was flying around the field making tackles, you know, special teams tackles, defensive tackles. And it wasn't just him. We had a lot of guys playing really hard. Our seniors played their hearts out all year. And, you know, we really are going to miss those guys. Again, we only had 9 seniors this year, and only 6 of them had any significant playing time last year as juniors. So, again, I'd really just like to acknowledge our seniors and how hard they played for us this year.
Yeah, for seniors, last night is it was a tough night for everyone. A lot of people around the state. If you aren't going to the playoffs as a senior, that's your last game of your high school career, and sometimes the last time you're going to strap on the shoulder pads ever. And that can be an emotional time. And as you know, and the fact that those guys went out there and played hard for you and kept playing hard for Penfield. Let's talk about a couple of those guys that kind of stood out for you last night and throughout the season.
Yeah, Joe Swartz, is he started for us at both on nose guard and offensive tackle. And Joe is he's a short guy, but he's a strong guy. He's probably our strongest guy in our program, really works hard in the weight room, gives great effort, right? I mean, he's an effort-type kid. You know, we lost Alex Lukering early in the year with a shoulder injury against Harper Creek. You know, we have Braden Campbell, who basically had played quarterback the last couple of years, and we asked him to play outside linebacker this year. You know, and I don't want to forget people. You know, we have Dre Bailey, who's an explosive guy in his own right, really made some big plays for us this year. We had Ryan Neff, who played on the offensive line for us too. And I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody. But again, the seniors, they stayed together. They kept doing a great job of leadership. Actually, probably as we're speaking, they're having breakfast together, some type of tradition that they've already started and they continue to do. So we're really proud of the leadership that they provided for our younger guys this year.
And you think they wrapped their heads around that last night and gave maximum effort last night because of the fact that that was going to be the last time they took the field? Is that something you guys kind of talked about in the pregame situation there?
Yeah, you try not to harp on it as a coach because you do realize how emotional it is for the kids and for the parents. And you know that at the home there's a discussion going on, hey, this is your last football game, go out and play hard. So, you know, as a coach, you just sit there and you try to remind the underclassmen, hey, you know, you're out there playing for these seniors tonight as you would be all year long. But tonight's an extra special night. We really wanted to give our seniors something that they could hang their hat on. And unfortunately, we just ran up against a bigger and better football team.
And like we said, Penfield ends the season at 1-8. And so the idea is that you look forward a little bit. You see some young guys on the horizon there that you look forward to having a great offseason and trying to let them know that this is just the start of things for Penfield, and the program is kind of growing, and it's going to be up to those guys from the underclass to be that situation for the future. Is that something you guys talked about also last night?
It is, and it's something that we talk about all the time. You know, we have a core group of young guys. You know, we started a junior at quarterback, and we started juniors at skill positions. We started juniors at middle linebackers, and in our defensive backfield. And, you know, we have a good group of sophomores coming up that are very athletic. And then our freshmen had a great season this year as well. They went 5-4, you know, really bought into what we're trying to do as a coaching staff and as a culture. You take all those grades coming up, and if they can get in the weight room and if they can stay together and if they can continually buy into what we're trying to do and how we're trying to coach them up and hold them accountable, you know, we've got something going, and it's just going to take a little bit of while, and it's going to take some experience because, again, we'll probably be young again next year as well. So, you know, putting all of this together, you know, Penfield, there's something coming. We just got to let it, you know, it's almost like a stew. You know, you got to let it simmer a little bit before you get that good taste coming up to the surface. So, you know, we're looking forward to the future. Coach Hatton is definitely excited. He's ready to get back to work. And as is all the coaches, we're ready to get back in the weight room starting on Monday. So there's a lot of excitement.
Yeah, it'll be a big off season for Penfield as you put this season behind them and looking forward to the future and getting ready for next year already. Thanks a lot, Coach, for stepping in, and we'll be talking to you down the road, okay?
Yep, thank you. We appreciate you having us.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner on WBCK. We're here with our next coach of the morning, Coach Mason Converse of the victorious Harper Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Harper Creek finished off its regular season at 8-1 last night with a 53-0 win over Jackson Northwest. That victory also clinched an outright title for the Beavers in the Interstate 8 Conference. First time they won the conference by themselves since 2017. That had to feel good last night, right, Coach?
I mean, what a great feeling just to be able to see the work that everybody's put in throughout the past few years, several years, and to see it come to fruition. And that was our talk pregame, was we didn't want to share it. And that was really our motivation throughout the year was, or throughout this last week, was to not share it and you know, hang the banner in our own gym, not hang the banner in Hastings' gym. So we knew Northwest was struggling and was dinged up, and it was the end of the season for them. And we just wanted to make sure we jumped on them early and took care of business early on, and we were able to do just that very, very workmanlike effort out of the boys.
Yeah, you had clinched a share of the title last week, and all week long it had to be a conversation that you wanted to make sure that you took care of business yourself, and you did. You ended up 6-0 in the conference and 8-1 overall, and now you look to next week. But before we do, we'll talk about last night's game. You guys rolled early, and you're up 32-0 at halftime. Chase Nichols got loose a couple times, had two long touchdown runs for you. You're a 1,000-yard running back. And Jesus Macedo had two touchdown passes, and he also kicked a field goal himself. And that diverse offense was had to be nice to see. You guys ran the ball, threw the ball, and scored on special teams. And those are the kinds of things you have to do in the postseason if you want to be successful.
You have to be able to do all three phases of the ball, or all three phases of the game, really well. And we've been trying to save Jesus as much as possible, not put so much on his plate throughout the year, and save his hip flexors and legs a little bit. And last year, we learned from last year. He wore down as the season went on because of punting, kicking, field goals, extra points, and playing quarterback, plus the pressure of being a leader on the team. And so we've been trying to save that and bring it along slowly, only having him kick a few kicks every day in practice. And we know he's got the leg. He barely missed a 50-yarder last night to end the first half. And we wanted to commit to – we have not – one of our weaknesses this year has been extra points, and we have not been great at those all year. We've been pretty good at two-point conversions, but we committed to kicking extra points last night. And Jesus and Alex LaFleur did a really nice job. I think Alex came in and was either 4-for-4 or 5-for-5 at the end, after the first touchdown that we scored. So those guys did a nice job. And, you know, that's everybody on the team, of course, too. It goes to the long snap and the holder. And we had one miscue the very first long snap, but otherwise we were good the rest of the night. So it's nice to see that start clicking.
And in the second half, you got a lot of bodies in there. You started with your seconds from the get-go in the second half. Cohen Selector scored, Cameron Conver scored, Kamari Hampton at touchdowns. They all scored in the second half, and you rolled to that victory. And it's nice to see some extra faces there in the second half and get some playing time, right?
Those are guys, and we had talked about that all week too. And we wanted to jump up early and get lots of guys, lots of playing time. And it was great to see guys that put in a lot of work and a lot of effort in practice throughout the years, really. And get some recognition as well too. So Aiden Miller, who's a senior and really does everything the team has asked of him throughout his 4 years here, and has never really done it. He's like a coach on the field, but then he's a coach's dream because he does whatever the team needs. And he had 8 tackles, led us in tackles last night, and just really proud of him and the season he's having. And Kyler Benjamin had 6 tackles, and then we've got some of our normal guys who also did a nice job last night. Jimmy Leamy, Blake Wagner, and Ricky Johnson all had 5 tackles, and that defense was our defense stayed focused last night. They got a shutout. That's our 4th shutout this year, but I think they held Northwest like 54 yards of total offense, which I didn't realize it was that dominant, and they really played well.
And before we get too far away from it, that conference championship is something not to take for granted. You guys shared one several years ago with Hastings, and winning one outright. And for Harper Creek, winning championships is what it's kind of have been about for the football program. And to get that done last night for those kids who a lot of them started getting playing time as freshmen and sophomores, and for them as seniors, that senior group to win a conference championship is has to be fantastic for you.
It's hard to win, and that's what a lot of people don't know and don't understand. And it is really hard to win because you've got a lot of other people out in the world who are trying to win too. And we try and relate that to daily life lessons all the time. But it's anytime you can win a conference title, sharing it or outright is special. obviously winning it outright is even more special. So to know that it's been since 2017, so that's 7 years, I think, that they don't come around very often. I've actually had some guys from the 2017 squad texting me this morning and excited, and they still stay in touch with Harper Creek football, and that's a great feeling. And, you know, to me, this is a title that's really been 3 years in the making, and we talked about this earlier this season, but after 21 and sharing the title with Hastings and Lumen, we thought we were just going to run it back, and we struggled in 2022 and made the decision after we started out 0-2 that we were going to bring some sophomores up, and who are now these seniors, and we brought up 12 sophomores, and we were able to finish the season 2-2 and really on a high note and playing better football, but learned a lot of things from that. And then we talked in the off season that year in 2022 about, you know, at some point in time you got to say enough is enough and start putting in the work. And we have guys like, when your offensive linemen, your biggest guys on the team, are setting the tone in the weight room, that's pretty special. So like Ricky Johnson, Caden Decker, Zach Kitchen, Carson Doherty, Demarion Ashley, Brendan Van Sickle. I mean, it was fantastic last night to be hugging those guys and being like, having them say, thanks for pushing me so hard. All that work paid off. And last year we had a good season, beat all the teams we should have beat, but couldn't get over the hump of beating the best teams and stubbed our toe. And some of that was just belief in yourself. Some of that is mental toughness in big moments. And those are things that the weight room builds, and it builds brotherhood and unity. And, we have other guys, too, that were take KCC classes, so they couldn't take weight training, but they would come in and be in weight training class on their own. That make those little things make a difference. Guys like Blake Wagner, Aiden Miller, Nehemiah Wirt, Jimmy Leamy, Braden Bass, those guys are all sometimes off campus during the day, but they made sure they got in and lifted with their teammates in our weight training classes, just like they were part of the class. And that commitment makes a huge difference. And when you're in a big tight game and you know that guy's put in the work, I mean, you trust each other, and that was a huge difference. And then we got some of our younger underclassmen, guys like Carter Brenner, Kamari Hampton, Cameron Converse, Preston Welch, who is a senior, but those were our weight training students of the year this last spring. And so you've got the younger guys now that are pushing each other and pushing the older guys in the weight room, and it just becomes a snowball effect in a positive way. And couldn't be more proud of these guys, and to see it take, because it's a long road, right? It doesn't just happen overnight, and a lot of people forget about the success isn't just microwaved, and these guys stayed true to what we have talked about and what we wanted to be, and really put in the work, and it paid off last night.
So now the whole Harper Creek community is going to be glued to their television Sunday evening when the MHSA has their Selection Sunday show, and Harper Creek will be playing in Division 4 this year in the postseason, and they get to find out who they might face with your 8-1 record and real good computer points, strength of schedule, computer point number. You are sitting pretty good in terms of having a home game, but who that might be in your district is the big question mark, and there's different ways to kind of look at that going around, but a lot of games happened win or loss last night, can switch some things around. But do you have a feel yet, or do you kind of just want to make sure or wait, see what happens on Sunday?
We should have a decent idea by tomorrow. There's usually some games tonight that get played that can affect power points a little bit, but right now I think we're sitting seventh in playoff points, and so what that means is really the only teams that are higher than us right now in playoff points, and playoff points mean that we get a home game. So if we're higher in playoff points than the team that we're facing, we would play at home and they would be the visiting team. So unless we go east, if we go east, Chelsea and then several of the Detroit area schools have those are the top, six, I guess, in playoff points. And so, but if we go west or even go north towards Lansing, we should have the opportunity to have up to three home games. So that's pretty special as well, too.
And to keep those home games going, you have to keep getting some wins every week. And some of those teams that we've talked about or could be in play are, if we go in north a little bit, it might be an Ionia or a rematch with a Hastings, or there's a Portland team that's up there that's really good. Or if you go catch some teams going west, you could fall into a district with a Pawpaw or a Three Rivers or a Niles. And all those have their different advantages or disadvantages. Facing a team for a second time is what you did last year. You had to play Parma Western the second time. Are there any feelings, again, either way, on how you feel about that, maybe seeing a team for a second time?
I don't know that I ever want to play our conference opponents twice in the same year. We've had to do that a lot of times over the years, and we all know each other so well that that things can go either way, and it's hard to beat a team twice in the same year. So even despite the fact that we had beaten them once, or maybe even what the score says, it's just tough to do that. And so, you know what? I'm happy to be that we're in the postseason and we want to make some noise and have a nice deep run. Advance in the postseason is one of our preseason goals. So we want to obviously win this next week. And we know that when you get into the playoffs, every team is good. There are no weak teams in the playoffs. I mean, we're down now. There'll be 32 teams left playing football in Division IV. And so every team in their respective communities is having a similar conversation like you and I are this morning, thinking about how special their season is and that they've made the playoffs and they want to make a run as well too. So we've got to be playing our top football, and our kids will be focused and ready to go.
Well, hopefully if the computer spits out the right information, Harbor Creek will be playing at home in the first round of the districts, and maybe on a Friday night, and that'll be exciting for the Harbor Creek community. We'll look forward to that, Coach, as we do that next week.
If we're home, it'll be Friday night. Friday night is when high school football is meant to be played.
All right, I'm all for that, too. So, all right, well, congrats to Harbor Creek last night for winning and clinching the conference title and going to the playoffs. And we'll be talking more Harbor Creek football next week. Thanks for coming on, Coach.
Thanks, Bill.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Ford Lincoln. Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick. We're back with our next Coach of the Morning here, Coach Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Battle Creek Central played Mattawan in the WBCK game of the night last night, and Mattawan came away with a 34-8 win. Final game of the regular season for you last night as Battle Creek Central ends the year at 1-8. But some of your seniors went out on a high note, including California Bay, who was the player of the game last night on WBCK. He had a huge game. He was all over the field. As he is a college prospect for you guys and a rising prospect himself and trying to get the open some eyes from some different schools around the state, he went out on a high note last night.
Yeah, he did, and he was back at his natural position, middle linebacker, where for the past several weeks we haven't been able to play him there because we just needed him in other places. We were shorthanded on the defensive line, so he was playing defensive end, even lined up at safety one time, and we've had to have him doing multiple things on offense, too. He's a versatile enough player to be able to do that, and his athleticism definitely benefited our team throughout the year. And last night, you know, it was his last game, and he's been battling a knee injury. He didn't play last week against St. Joe. And being in his last game, I just asked him, I said, where do you want to play at your last game, you know? And he said, I want to go back to middle linebacker. And I said, okay, you got it. And so we made adjustments elsewhere. We lost one of our defensive ends this week as well. So we he didn't play last week either. So we had a couple guys playing defensive end that hadn't all year long, and they held it down pretty well. But then, you know, last night, Callie got to go back to linebacker, and he made some really great plays, you know, and there was probably the pinnacle of it all was Mattawan had the ball on the 2-yard line with a first down, and we stopped him. Great goal line stand, and one of the plays in that series was a toss sweep to number 2 Connor O'Rourke from Mattawan, who's an excellent Division 1 scholarship player too, and Callie saw it coming and stepped up in the hole and stuck him at, you know, for no gain. And it was just an excellent football play. That's the kind of play, really, when you see on film, helps earn kids scholarships because people know who Connor is. You know, he's got a lot of offers. In fact, he's visiting Ball State today. You know, he might get offered by Ball State. And to make a play like that against a kid like that, you know, it says a lot about the kind of player that Callie is. So I was happy to see him have an opportunity to shine in his last home game. And, you know, Ebby Wilson steps in at running back, which he hasn't done a whole lot of this year. Capri Richardson stepped in at running back, which he hasn't done a whole lot of this year. But those guys are both seniors and ran the ball really well. you know, Ebby got in there and looked like he was shot out of a cannon a couple of times. It was like, man, you know, I wish he could have run like this the whole year. And he's probably looking at us going like, well, you should have put me in the whole year.
<That's right.
laughs> You know?
Yeah, well, Ebby scored your lone touchdown. He had a 35-yard touchdown run. And Cali, at 10 tackles, looked like he was sideline to sideline kind of linebacker that he can be, and two tackles for loss and a sack. And Matawan got up on you early, and then they were up 21-0, and then went on from there to win the game. But and it wasn't the season that Valkyrie Central wanted at 1-8, but injuries and lack of seniors had you guys kind of handcuffed most of the year. But you played a lot of young people, and is that helped maybe going forward? Is that kind of how you looked at it last night?
Yeah, you know, there's a bright light shining in the younger classes, and we knew we were going to take some lumps this year. We had our senior walk last night, and seven kids, you know, and probably, you know, not to throw shade at any of our players or anything, but we've had teams where the guys on this team wouldn't have even been starters, you know, they're being asked to come in and carry that kind of weight throughout the season, and it's a tough ask, you know. We really, you know, aside from a few seniors like Cali, we're a JV football team. And so I think to have that, though, it gives you the hope that the experience that you gain in big-time games like that young, does big favors for you in years to come. And so we had a couple sophomores last night that typically do play really well for us that didn't play very well, and they were really upset. And I just said, listen, you know, you're a sophomore. You should be playing JV football. And just enjoy the moment, make the best of it that you can, and just know that this experience is going to pay off for you in the next 2 years. And, you know, it's a tough ask for some of those guys. You know, we have a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing on our varsity football team.
Well, that makes for a huge summer for the Valkyrie Central Bearcats coming up, a huge off season, and a lot of changes going forward for Valkyrie Central, a lot of young kids stepping up into bigger roles, and how that kind of comes together will be big, and how you look at it over the summer and getting ready for next year. And that's where Valkyrie Central is right now, and as they put the season behind them. And we'll talk more about those younger kids next week when you come back, and we'll break down the season and break down the future when we do that.
Yep,
thanks a lot, Coach, for coming in. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here with our next Coach of the Morning here in Coach's Corner. We're here with Coach Vernon of the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Lakeview ended the season on a high note. They beat Gull Lake 42-27, and no matter how the season has gone, and either way, you always want to end with a win, and the Spartans were able to get that done. So how good did that feel last night?
Felt good. You know, you got to give Gull Lake credit. They battled. They had a couple. They had an injury early on that really extended the game. There, you know. Hopefully, he's okay. A broken leg. You know, delayed the game 30-45 minutes. And he was one of their better players. But they continued to battle and you know, made a game of it all the way through the fourth quarter. Just the way some of our kids performed. Really happy to see that on the field.
Some of the young guys stepping up again for you as they kind of grow with more playing time. Your quarterback, Isaiah Jackson, had a real nice game last night. He rushed for nearly 200 yards. He had two touchdowns on the ground and shown to be a multidimensional quarterback. He had two scoring passes also. He threw one to Spencer Shotwell and also one to Brendan Bourne. And then Brendan Bourne also added another touchdown run himself. And getting some good play out of different parts of the team there. Talk about how that game kind of went early and where you kind of took over.
So the run game was working for us all night. Isaiah had 24 carries for 238 yards. He also had 130 yards that got called back. in penalties. And a couple, I mean, he would, without those penalties, he's rushing for 350 yards. Oh, yeah. You know, and just an amazing thing. And then you throw on Brendan Bourne, the running back. He had 21 carries for 164 yards. So just running the ball all night. And they couldn't stop that. And that's fun as an offensive coordinator to have that happen. Just knowing that you can run the football. And I mean, they were trying to take that away. They're, you know, going man coverage, cover zero, putting everybody in the box, blitzing everybody. And you got to give credit to our offensive line for, you know, getting hats on hats, creating seams that our guys could end up running through and get some big plays, because as soon as you get past that first level, everybody's blitzing, you know, and now we're in the open field going to make some plays. So, you know, great job all around. And, you know, we had some kids that came in that we weren't expecting to play. We unfortunately had a couple of ejections right away in the second half, and so we had to have a lineman that hardly has played at all for us. Melvin May came in as a guard and just did a great job, just, you know, thrown into the fire there. Brody Miller, a senior that hasn't had a ton of playing time throughout it, and he came in at tackle and played as we had some injuries, a couple rolled ankles here and there, and had some guys that stepped up and played the game that helped us get a win.
That win makes your regular season record 2-7, and that is a way to jumpstart you for next year with a win there and getting things going for next year. And before we head off to next year, you had a bunch of seniors that played their last game for Lakeview last night. Let's talk about a couple of those guys and what they meant to the program.
Sure. So I'm going to go back to Brendan Bourne. He was a kid last year that, hey, he got a couple carries for us. He's not very big. You know, he's a pretty small kid, and the biggest thing was he needed to learn how to finish runs and fall forward, and he did that. You know, he's taking on kids that have 30, 40, 50 pounds on him, and he continues to fall forward with that. And the way that he developed and got himself to be a physical runner, I'm just extremely happy with what he did there, you know. It was frustrating at times this year, but you know, some of those guys, you know, stepped up and finished the right way.
And so now it's gonna be a big off season for Lakeview going forward and trying to keep the program going, as you're in your second year now and trying to get things entrenched and how you want to do things and getting more kids in the weight room. That has to be the key going forward, right?
Yeah, you know, I told you at the beginning that we made improvements from the year before. Got still a lot of improvements to do, and I think our biggest aspect as we go through is make sure that we're doing the little things, doing the details day in and day out, because we lack some of those right now. And that's my job as coach, to get them there and get them going.
Well, we'll have you back next week, Coach, to talk about some of those kids for next year, and we'll look ahead to next year, and I'll give you a chance to say your thank yous to all the people that support the Lakeview Spartans football program. So we'll do that again next week, Coach. And so that'll be it for Coach's Corner for this Saturday, the last week of the regular season, and we will move forward to next Saturday while we'll be talking about some playoff football, and we'll do it again next Saturday at 9 a.m. right here at Lakeview Ford. That's it for us. Thanks for listening on WPCK 95.3 FM.